You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
There are things you would like to forget. At the same time, you don't want to be forgotten. You want to be remembered.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, remember us at the beginning of this new year. Remember not our sins, and remove from us the burden of guilt that remembrance brings, without the assurance of your forgiveness. Remember us in your steadfast love, for your goodness' sake, O Lord, that we see in the face of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our forgiveness and our life. Amen. A friend of mine received a telephone call from a young woman who began her conversation like this. "You don't know who I am, but I just have to talk to somebody. About a year ago, my husband had an affair with another woman overseas, and I have forgiven him. But the memory of his sin has destroyed his love for me. Now, because of his guilt, he wants a divorce." That woman needed somebody to remember her at a crucial time. Through faith in God, she had already found someone who gave her the will and the power to forgive. Her husband needed to find somebody who would remember him, and he had found no one. Maybe he could not believe that his wife would forgive him. Even her forgiveness would not do. Deep inside was that sense of guilt which not only religious people, but even the most irreligious have felt and have tried to put out of their minds. The only escape this man could find was to get away from it all. He imagined that he could get rid of his feeling of guilt by getting away from his wife, whom he had injured. Getting away from her would have left him with the same sense of guilt. More senseless things occur because of a feeling of guilt than those that arise out of malice or plain ignorance. I've seen the nastiest things done by religious people who carried around with them a deep-seated sense of guilt, even though they'd been told time and again about God who forgives. They could not believe that God forgives. They criticized other people in order to build up the impression that they were righteous, never seeming to recognize that their self-righteousness was apparent to everybody and was indeed as great a sin as the one that originally caused their feeling of guilt. People are not right until they are right with God. This is not mere religion I'm talking about. It's a fact of life, a practical fact of life. It's an insight with which to begin the new year. You can't leave one year and enter another without some feeling of failure, some recognition of responsibility that has been shirked, some confession of mistakes that have been made, some sense of guilt. Without that, you are not human. You're just a pious picture of a human being, a fake representation of a man or woman. If the recollection of the old year does not cause you to say somewhere along the way, "I am sorry." It is a mark of intelligence, not just of piety, to be able to say, "I am sorry." A big-hearted man and a great-hearted woman say, "I am sorry." It was a big-hearted man, a man of some parts, with sharp intelligence and great insight, who first spoke these words. Be mindful of thy mercy, O Lord, and of thy steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my many transgressions. According to thy steadfast love, remember me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. That's from the 25th Psalm. The man is David. He was envied by almost everyone, and he could easily get away with parading his virtues. He could put on a beautiful act and make a grandstand play for the plaudits of the crowd. Instead, he turns to God and says, remember me. There's always something, not just in the past year, but in the whole past, that you would like to forget. At the same time, you do not want to be forgotten. You want to be remembered. You don't want to be destroyed by that feeling of guilt that somehow rises to haunt you, even when you don't know exactly where it comes from. You want to be remembered, even though you may not be sure exactly by whom. The whole world, preoccupied with itself, would like to find faith. But there is no way to find it. We sign peace treaties, putting our faith in them, and are disappointed. We make oral agreements, and as one wag has put it, they are not worth the paper they are written on. Marriages go to pieces, partnerships collapse, fellowships are broken, and it's always someone else's fault. It has got to be, because we are not able to bring ourselves to say, I am sorry. Why do people pay no attention to God, who keeps on saying that he forgives? Because they cannot bring themselves to say to God, I am sorry. Forgiveness means something only when you're able to say, I'm sorry. Really sorry for what I did to produce this mess in which I find myself. The man who broke faith with his wife had no real faith in her that she could really forgive. As she said, I forgive you, he could not believe it, and maybe did not really want to hear it. That's the old devil in every one of us. We don't like to be forgiven. It takes something of the fear of God to get people really to say, I'm sorry. It takes more than that. It takes faith in God to turn to him and really ask his forgiveness. It takes what this man had, who said, remember me, O God. Be mindful of thy mercy, O Lord, and of thy steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy steadfast love, remember me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Why would God remember you or me? Are we worth remembering? Is there something we have to do to make him forget what we are or what we have deserved? Isn't it simply enough to say, I'm sorry? Without repentance, it is impossible to live with God. I feel sorry for people who go through life without a twinge of repentance. They're absolutely lost, having lost their lives and having lost themselves. We all feel a lot better when someone has committed a crime and afterwards is able to say, I'm sorry. But is that enough? Is it really true that we forgive people like that and let them go as if they had committed no crime at all? Is it really true, as I've heard some people say, if we are really sorry for our sins, God forgives us? You know it's not true. Everybody knows that. There has to be something else. A price has to be paid. A lot of people feel sorry, really sorry for the harm they have inflicted, but they don't know the peace of forgiveness because the price has not been paid. The reason is quite simple. They don't know God. Not knowing him, they can't believe he would pay a price and forgive. Not knowing him, they don't even want to hear his word of forgiveness. Even though they fear God, without faith in him, they will do the same thing all over again whenever they get the chance, and maybe feel sorry all over again. This can become a very vicious thing. That's why religious people can be so much nastier than irreligious people. They know what they need, but still they don't know where to find it. What all of us need, my friend, is forgiveness. We need to know God and how he forgives out of the goodness of his heart. The forgiveness of that woman won't wipe away that man's guilt, but the forgiveness of God will. He will forgive when no one else can and no one else will. The basic disease of the human spirit is sin. S-I-N. If there were no God, there would be no sin. It's against God that you have sinned, my friend. Not just against your wife, your children, your neighbor, your father or your mother or your friends. Their forgiveness, great as it is, cannot remove that feeling of guilt you carry around inside you. Only He can deal with that guilt. When God forgives, the guilt is gone. You have to believe that, of course. I have to believe it. Without this faith in God that He forgives, all the repentance in the world will do no good. How do we know that God forgives? Because He says so. It is His word to the world through His chosen prophets. But that's not enough. It is His word to the world in His Son, Jesus Christ. The Son of Man has come, He said, to seek and to save the lost ones. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I've seen some examples of that, but none like His. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be a sacrifice for our sins. Now that's God. He forgives. When God forgives, He really forgives. He does not look for excuses, nor for acts of piety that may somehow compel Him to forgive. He forgives those who despair of themselves and cannot live without His forgiveness. Out of pure grace, for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of everybody, He forgives. From the death of our own trespasses and sins, He rescues us by His forgiveness. He rescues people who have nowhere else to turn. God gives them life, new life, for the sake of His Son. You may wonder why we always keep talking about Jesus Christ. This is the reason. Knowing Jesus Christ, what He did for you in His holy death, and what He does for you in the power of His resurrection, is to know God. That's not just one way of knowing God. It's the only way. Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead by the glory of His Father. He is Lord, the only Lord. Jesus Christ calls upon you to accept the forgiveness of God and the life God gives for the sake of His Son. This is eternal life, He said, to know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. This is the God David turned to, the one who promised the world a Savior. He's the God to turn to today, the one who sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. No matter what you may have heard or thought, there's only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our Lord, is one Lord. The great God who first said, "Let there be light," has shined into our hearts, said one of Christ's men, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Knowing that one God makes all the difference in the world. Faith in Him, real trust and confidence in Him, changes people. It changed David, the rough and ready character, the man of war, talking the language of war, the man of commerce, talking the language of commerce, the man of politics, talking the language of politics, the man of education, talking the language of education. That was David. More than anything else, David was a man of God. He was called a man after God's own heart. He's the same man to whom the prophet Nathan said, "Thou art the man." When he made a mistake, it was a beaut. When he repented, it was a thing of beauty. Because his heart was fixed in faith on God, he knew God. Knowing God, the man said, "Remember me, O God. For your goodness sake, remember me." It is the same prayer a stricken man prayed on the cross next to our Lord the day he was crucified. "Remember me, Lord," he said, "when you come into your kingdom." That's faith. "Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old." That's faith. "Remember not the sins of my youth or my many transgressions." That's faith. "According to your steadfast love, remember me, for your goodness sake, O Lord." That's faith. Without repentance, you will never be right with God. Without faith, you will never be put right with God. By faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be put right with God, justified by Him, instead of continually trying to justify yourself, and having peace, the peace of God's forgiveness, which does, in fact, as Paul once said, pass all understanding. The old year's past, with its broken promises, its unfinished business, its pitiful failures, and a new year has come. Face it, my friend, not with a long face or a glum spirit, but with a believing heart. He invites you to trust His mercy. "Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old." Don't remember all those old sins and sorrows, Lord, but remember me as you remember your own great goodness, O Lord. Remember me for the sake of Jesus Christ, the Son of your love. Remember me and do not forget me. Remember not my sins, even those of long ago, or my many transgressions. For the sake of your mercy, which was there and is here with me now in Jesus Christ, remember me, O Lord. Remember me for the sake of Jesus, whom you will always remember. Others may forget you, my friend, but God will not forget you. Others may not remember you, but God will remember you. He remembers you as you put your trust in him, do his will, forgiving as that woman forgave her husband, and living in love which covers a multitude of sins. Against you, you only, O God, have I sinned. Remember me in your mercy, your steadfast love, your forgiveness, which the years cannot dim, ever true from of old, and ever true even now. O Lord, remember me. Amen.